The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. This story is often known as the Doubting Thomas story, but today I think it would be good to call it John's Pentecost. It's John's Pentecost story in the Gospel of John. And in the reading, I'm going to make one interpretive adjustment, and it's in a preposition. When the Holy Spirit is breathed, the better interpretation is breathed into as opposed to breathe on. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed into them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any sins, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt but believe." Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. I don't ordinarily preach two sermons, but today this lesson really is in two parts, so I'm just going to give you 30 seconds on the second part, because Thomas insists on seeing the marks. We call him Doubting Thomas, but actually Thomas is really a very understanding and believing person because he knows there have to be marks. It's the crucified one that returns to bring forgiveness and the promise of life. Thomas is actually the believing one, and he knows what the marks are for and that we should be looking for the one with marks. To go further, I'd like to ask the children to come forward and help us think about the first part of the story in which the disciples were locked behind doors. Thank you all. So I've been kind of wrestling around with how to think about this. I want you to imagine that the disciples were very afraid, and they are behind doors, and those doors are locked. That's right. They are locked so nobody else could get in. And I'm thinking, well, how were they feeling? And it strikes me that they are so afraid. It's like maybe they're, have you ever heard the term, they're drowning with fear. Fear has overcome them. If we were to rescue a drowning person, what would we do? What would we need to do after we pull them out of the water? Yeah, you guys got hints. Any ideas? Yeah. Giving them like a breathing. That's the gospel of the Lord. That's exactly right. Jesus gathers with all the disciples who are drowning in this fear, who are so worried. And it says he breathes the Holy Spirit into them. Jesus breathes forgiveness and life and care and love so that they're not overcome any longer by fear. They have new life. Just like a drowning person who gets fresh air and gets life and breath breathed into their lungs have new life. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into us for life and asks us then to go and do what with others? Share the breath of life, to breathe in forgiveness and promises of life to those who are in need. So today we were talking about a little bit with the confirmands and a youth group about what causes us to be afraid or how we deal with our fear when we feel like we're drowning in it. Jesus stands among us and promises always to be with each of you when you are afraid and asks you to be with others when they are afraid to bring life and good news. Come on the round and let's have a prayer. Lord, we give you thanks that you stand with these children and all gathered here this day, that you promise to breathe your Spirit into us to give us life, and that you send us as your daughters and your sons to bring life to others. Bless these children and all who are gathered here this day in Jesus' name. I'll say amen. 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 Thank you, guys. William James used to say that all of philosophy really is in the prepositions. Maybe we could say all theology is in the prepositions too. Jesus breathed into them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The great gift of life is inspired into us. As I said at my preliminary remarks, the breathing of the Holy Spirit into the disciples is often understood as John's Pentecost. It's a little different than the flames on the top of the head, but it's a great, inspiring, to use a term, lesson. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the very gift of life. And it's consistent with what John understands his purpose of writing the gospel to be. It's consistent with what John understands Jesus' purpose for coming among us to be. And you'll notice that last sentence in the gospel lesson, all these things are written. We learn about what Jesus is up to, what he's doing, that you may believe, and believing have life in Jesus' name. Again, the Gospel of John is at every turn about the gift of life, about abundant life, to use John's term. That is attentive life, where we are paying attention to all of those children of God who are in need, who are looking for community, who may feel like they are drowning in fear. Attentive life, life of relationship. And particularly in the Gospel of John, sinfulness is being out of relationship, is being in broken relationship with God and one another, so that restoration and repair and salvation is the healing properties of putting relationships back together with God and one another. And not just one others, but with all others, with the whole of creation as well. So the deeper the connection, or we might say the broader the connection we have with our sisters and brothers in the world, to many peoples, the more life, abundant life. Jesus' vision, Jesus' promise, his Spirit is an inclusive vision, an expansive one of community in which the Holy Spirit leads us. The breath of life that we receive from Christ Jesus reminds us that the gift of life has been God's purpose for us from the very beginning. You might recall in the second of the creation stories, it says that we were formed from the dust of the ground and God breathed into us and we became living beings. Or another great story in Scripture, one of the few that we didn't read at the vigil from the prophet of Ezekiel. You remember the story of the dry bones. Ezekiel is overlooking this arid field where they're bones of the slain. And the voice of God comes and says, prophesy to the bones. And the wind, the Holy Spirit, blows and breathes upon and into the slain that they might have life. So here's the point. The point of the whole Scripture. It's a unitive vision, a singular vision from the very beginning and through the prophets and into the life of Jesus Christ and to our time. From creation to redemption to our calling to be daughters and sons of the living God. This connection of the creation of life with the great prophets and their prophecy and prayer for life, and now to the story of Jesus breathing spirit of life into us. It reflects a unity of theme and purpose that the whole of Scripture reveals, that God's spirit, God's very being, is defined by giving life, by inspiring us, by freeing us from whatever prisons we are hiding behind, the locked doors. And that our very purpose as daughters and sons, our purpose and being and spirit is inspired and formed and restored by the sharing and giving of that life. And you'll notice that's a Trinitarian formula, inspired by the Holy Spirit, formed by the Creator God, and restored and redeemed by Jesus the Christ, in order that we might share life and give life. Notice the Holy Spirit is given within an extraordinary context of our commissioning, our sending. As God sent Jesus, Jesus surely sends us. It's what he says in this lesson. As God sent me, so I send you. And he didn't just mean those 12 disciples. He meant you and me. Us. We who hear the story this day and believe. Namely, we, the daughters and sons of the living God, being sent, as Jesus himself was sent, to receive his Spirit and to breathe, that we might also live in community, that we might also bring forgiveness. And what is that forgiveness? I gave a hint earlier on, that we work for the healing of broken relationships between ourselves, those closest to us or even unknown to us, also between communities and between nations. Through forgiveness, we are healed with God in Christ Jesus. God's spirit of life is breathed into us. Jesus, who, although he was rejected and abandoned by all, though our collective fear and subsequent reactions to save ourselves placed him on the cross, Jesus forgives, he rises, he lives. No vengeance, no exclusion, no retribution. The resurrected Christ forgives, breathes life and forgiveness into us and sends us to do the same. So now I want to come back to the locked doors, maybe where we started with the children. As we noted, they were locked for fear. And we all have experiences of fear. But the disciples were locked in it. They were jailed, as if they were drowning, we said, as if they were already in a tomb. But the resurrected Christ comes and stands with them to bring peace of mind and heart and body, to open the doors of their understanding, the doors of their hearts, to open them to the world, to open them to life and to God. To himself become the door through which we enter life, through our relationship of forgiveness and the promise of life in Christ Jesus. So as I said, we all experience fear, and we are all tempted to lock ourselves in, to protect ourselves, to save ourselves through our own efforts alone. This urge to lock ourselves in our time, I'm afraid, has become a national obsession. To me, it is symbolized by that thing we call the border wall. The wall in our time is the great image of fear. And it is being sold as salvation for our fear. And it does not even need to be built to galvanize our fear, to encourage our distrust and fear of others, to ruin our relationship with friends, national ones in this case, but not just that. And soon we become fearful of one another. We become divided among ourselves as enemies. We purchase weapons. Such is the spirit of our age, and it's not holy. The title of my Easter sermon, I should ask you all the reason, won't do, no test today, but it was, what are we afraid of? You remember the women left in fear. Maybe we all do, but what is it that we are afraid of? A famous man once said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Yeah. We trust the spirit of the resurrection. Jesus the Christ is standing among us. We announce, we cry out, we rejoice. And Jesus stands with us and says, peace be with you, peace be in your heart, peace be among you with other people. Don't fear. Don't fear the life. Don't fear the life that I give you. I, the risen Christ, the truth of God, the truth of God's love for you, am with you. I am with you not just today, but forevermore, eternally. Do not be afraid. I am with you in your fearful times when you are locked in fear for personal reasons, for intimate relational reasons. I will be the door through which you pass to life. Trust me, believe me, receive my spirit, and I will also be with you in the world. When fear overcomes communities, I send you to bring forgiveness, to bring peace, to restore relationships, to bring hope. Jesus stands among us and breathes into us the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.